Recipe for a Scandal, written by Debbie Holt and read by Julie Bond.
Love and scandal are the best sweeteners of tea. Henry Fielding. Chapter 1. Bad Evening with Black Rocks. Later, much later, it occurred to Alberta that if she hadn't been presiding over the most excruciatingly awkward evening of her entire life, she would definitely have asked Tony about his phone call. They would probably have talked about it, and the subsequent course of her life could possibly have been very different. Alberta did not ask Tony about his phone call because, like a bee floundering in a honeypot, she was struggling to escape the consequences of her own inadvertent folly. Like the bee, the more she struggled, the worse her situation became. Alberta did not normally give dinner parties. As joint partner of Bounty of Bath, for fabulous food for large or small functions, her job involved cooking delicious food for people who had no time to cook for themselves. Consequently, the idea of using her precious free time to prepare a three-course meal for a variety of guests who didn't know each other had about as much appeal as a doctor would find in spending a jolly evening listening to friends recounting their physical ailments. The impulse for the party, gratitude, made the subsequent debacle all the more sad. Alberta and Tony had met Erica Wright at the sixth former's parents' evening, held in the first week of the summer term. Ms. Wright had recently joined the school as head of sixth year, and was the first teacher not to think that Jacob was infuriating or self-opinionated or possessed of an overinflated view of his abilities. In fact, Ms. Wright declared he was charming and quirky and perceptive, and said he possessed an original mind. Alberta and Tony looked at their son with new respect and left the school hall in rather dazed good spirits, followed by a smugly smiling Jacob. A week later, on the 1st of May, Alberta met Jacob's teacher again, this time at a Pilates class. Normally, Alberta would never have approached a woman like Erica. Erica was at least 6 inches taller than Alberta, whose own stature could generously be described as diminutive. Erica's hair fell like shimmering silk onto her shoulders. Alberta's hay-coloured locks were tied up on top of her head, while her grown-out fringe refused to stay neatly behind her ears. Erica, tall and slim and svelte, looked amazing in her pale grey tracksuit and pink T-shirt. Alberta, short and slimish, and cursed, as she saw it, with big breasts, looked entirely unremarkable in her leggings, her oversized white polo shirt, and her long blue cardigan. Nevertheless, the balm-like memory of Erica's judgment on Jacob propelled Alberta towards unusually assertive action. At the end of the lesson, she went up to Erica and said, "Miss Wright, my name's Alberta Granger. We met at the parents' evening." Ms. Wright smiled. "Please call me Erica. You're mother of the lovely Jacob." There was no sarcasm in Erica's voice. Erica obviously did think Jacob was lovely. Alberta felt a rush of appreciation for such amazing perspicacity. She said quickly, "We so appreciated your comments about him. Do you have to dash off, or can I buy you a drink?" Erica hesitated. "I have a mountain of marking, but... oh, why not? He can wait another half hour." Ensconced in a nearby wine bar with fat glasses of Chenin Blanc, the two women sat side by side, while Alberta strove to explain the conundrum that was Jacob. "We are so used to feeling utterly crushed at those evenings. I don't know what it is, but Jacob seems to have this habit of thoroughly annoying all his teachers. I mean, I know he's quite unusual in some ways." "He's a clever boy," Erica said, "and he has a delightfully off-centre way of looking at life." "Yes," Alberta said vaguely, omitting to mention that more often than not she found her son's views on life quite impenetrable, and when she could penetrate them, they invariably made her feel uncomfortable. Sometimes she felt she and Jacob inhabited different universes.